Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
I'm John C. Dvorak.
And I'm Andrew Horowitz.
And here we are. It's the 1st of December.
Yep. Happy holidays. Get into that dreamy spirit of Sinatra singing Christmas songs.
Uh-huh.
Or who's your favorite old-time singer?
Crosby.
Oh, yeah? Really? He's not around anymore, is he? Bing Crosby. I don't think so. Did you ever like, what's the other guy? He's still around.
Tony Bennett?
Tony Bennett. Do you ever like Tony Bennett?
Not really.
No. How about your Thanksgiving? What'd you do?
I cooked a 10-pound heritage bird, and I was in Washington State. I was up in Washington State and cooked a 10-pound bird and had some good champagne and some decent wine.
Nice. We ended up going to a friend's house, having the traditional and usual, but the next day my son said, hey, why don't we cook? I said, well, what do you want to do? He said, oh, think of something. So I ended up smoking a couple of ducks and some turkey legs, and we made for dinner smoked duck tacos with a peanut sauce and a mango chutney. And then we had a tuna tartare, which I kind of put in this really cool, like a tower with an avocado tower on top of it. So two part and some, then we made some, what did I have after that? I had some a vegetable stack. And then, short ribs, braised short ribs. They tasted really good. I think I didn't cook them long enough or something. I cooked them for like 3.5 hours. I think they needed some more time.
Beef?
Yeah, it was kind of tough.
Oh. Well, the tuna tartare is definitely a Thanksgiving tradition.
Mm-hmm.
You know what would be kind of fun? You can buy this stuff called meat glue.
Yeah.
And you can use it to glue meat together, and it's edible. And I think since you did the ducks and the turkey legs, it'd be cool to just whack off the duck's legs and glue on two giant turkey legs under the little duck and then serve it on a platter.
Right. That would be fun. And what does this glue do? It just is it for what's the purpose of it?
It's for fancy cooking.
Mm.
Gluing stuff together that you want to glue together. It's like that you can meat right. glue. It's meat glue.
Mm-hmm.
I've never owned it, but I know about it.
Mm. Well, I'll
but
look into that.
It would be
that.
Perfect for this particular use.
No, that's something it could be used for.
Yeah.
Or making a meatball snowman. Right?
Yeah, you could do that.
Anyway, it's a countdown until the year's end, and December is often a seasonably bullish trend or bullish time for markets. I guess it's because... Well, I think it's a combination of things, right? Money managers want their bonuses. They want to get as much as they can in, push it into the end of the year. Yep. We have some pension allocations. People are feeling better because it's the holiday, I guess. They get a week off. You're supposed to feel good during the holidays. So I think people are feeling pretty good and kind of like, okay, well, this year we're going to be, next year is going to be a better year. We're going to really get that money working. And the big question is that as we sit here right now at the beginning of December, are we going to have a Santa rally or a Grinch drop?
Well, my prediction that the market's going to hit 18,000 before Christmas would indicate a Santa rally.
And you are at right now 17,888.
Yeah, it's just 120 points and bingo,
that's
done.
It. That's right. That could happen tomorrow.
Then it could Grinch it would go down to, whatever.
It's interesting because...
could happen.
Some of the recent news, we talk about all the different things that are going on, the headwinds. So last night, there was some news from China. Their manufacturing numbers looked god-awful. They were sub 50 into the 48.5 with the official manufacturing number, and that wasn't very good. But we also saw that in the U.S. today, for the first time since 2009, we had like a 48.6 print on the ISM manufacturing, which is in the contraction zone.
Right.
That's the lowest since 2009. And we've been talking about this, how we've seen this, the services do well, employment do really well, but manufacturing just crappy. It's this kind of weird situation where.
Yeah, so because it doesn't, that the weird situation means nothing adds up.
Right. Something's not right. I mean, the big thing that doesn't add up to me, I get how manufacturing can definitely be slower than the service index, right? Because we're less of a manufacturing economy than we were. But what I don't get is the manufacturing, generally speaking, has a good number of, a requirement for a good number of employees. And if they're kind of slowing down, why is the employment situation getting better? That's a little weird.
Makes no sense.
Mm. I mean, the service sector too, with, you know, restaurants and food service people, that's pretty big. But anyway, we saw that come out, and markets said when it did come out at 10 o'clock this morning, well, that's not so good. And it kind of not didn't roll down, but rolled off of its highs. And then by about 1 o'clock, everybody said, well, that's old news.
That's yesterday's news.
Yeah, that's yesterday's news. And what's new about that? Now, meanwhile, the Fed speakers have been all talking about how a soft manufacturing number and a little bit weaker economic numbers and even a weak employment number probably will not derail their December rate hike. So that's coming up in a few weeks. And
that's going to be interesting.
Yeah, I mean, it's such a minor number. Now,
minor number, but it's going to have a psychological impact.
Yeah.
But which way, up or down?
Well, right now it's been up. It's been the whole idea that, well, the Fed is a rationalization, of course. The Fed can raise rates because the economy is doing better. No longer do we need emergency stimulus plans. So things are better here, and that's good. And Friday this week, we're going to have the big employment number. Seems like it was just last week we saw the last one. We're going to see the big year-end employment number, and that's going to set the stage for what's going to happen with the Fed. And, of course, we've seen the dollar move higher. Today it moved lower a bit on the manufacturing number, but not terribly lower. And also there was some dollar movement because the big news last night, I don't know if you saw that, was that the Chinese currency, the yuan, was approved as an official reserve currency of the world.
Yeah, it's only a small part of it.
It's actually going to be bigger than, I think it's bigger than the yen. It's going to be a 10% position.
Yeah, it's bigger than the yen and bigger than the pound.
So this is the first time since 1999 there's been a change in this dynamic.
And nobody's taking this too seriously because it still doesn't float.
It is actually funny how they devalue their currency about a month and a half ago, 2 months ago.
Yeah.
And the IMF is like, okay, things are good. Things are fine. You're doing everything you have to do to make sure. Meanwhile, they're in there manipulating the currency on a daily basis.
Yeah.
And they get approved.
Mm. Well, something's very scamish about it. I think they just got approved because of all the never-ending complaining.
By China?
Yeah.
Yeah, that they want to be the reserve currency of the world, not the U.S. dollar. Yeah, that makes sense, guys. You know, what's interesting also is there was a commentary today that said that, is it possible that the IMF threw them kind of a lifeline by doing this because things are so bad over there, there needs to be some outside source that says, okay, you know, now you have the opportunity to bring in outside assets into your currency, into your country, and maybe that would be good. Meanwhile, by the way,
an interesting theory.
You would think, by the way, that if the IMF approves a currency for inclusion in this special funding and reserve currency that has special drawing rights where it's going to be invested in a part of all of this by many central banks and money managers and things like that, that on the news, the currency would move higher. That would seem logical, right?
Yeah, you'd think.
Not really. Didn't.
Well, they would adjust it anywhere if it did.
Right. And remember all the times in the last few years where all the senators were walking around with that, oh, we have this piece of paper in our pocket that's going to say that China is a currency manipulator.
Yes.
Remember that? And now, and now we are, here we are, I guess.
I haven't heard that. Now that you mention it, we haven't heard that complaint for a year, I think.
At least a year.
Yeah.
I guess everybody's realized that it's the pot calling the kettle black.
Well, there's that.
Yeah.
So the I don't know why. That's very interesting that nobody, the Republican candidates don't bring that up anymore.
Yeah, nobody's
Trump does.
Well, he brings it up in the regard that China's essentially stealing all this manufacturing and business from us. So we got to close them off and equalize the trade, if you know, and make sure that we hold their feet to the fire. But this was, by the way, this was on, this started about a month and a half ago when President Obama said that he was behind China's China's currency being included in this. And that was the same meeting that China agreed that they're going to stop the hacking. Remember that whole meeting they had about the Chinese hacking U.S.?
Oh, that's interesting. I didn't notice this.
Oh, yeah. So what happened was that there was some kind of agreement of sorts that, hey, you stop hacking us and I'll back you on this deal. Hmm. Plus, Obama is all about the climate. You know, everything about the climate, right? Climate change, the worst thing that happened. Forget about ISIS. No big deal. Climate is something we need to focus in on. So I think that he also told China that if they can get themselves together and on board with this whole thing, that, again, that would be another thing that would help him get behind the IMF inclusion in this reserve currency. Again, something they've wanted for so long, just to kind of feel that they're at the big table.
Mm-hmm. The adult table.
Exactly. The other things that we have going on this week, which I think have been swirling around investors' heads in regard to currencies and markets, lots of central bank potential action. We have the Reserve Bank of India today, the Bank of Canada tomorrow, and the big one on Thursday, which is the European Central Bank. Now, the ECB has been, I kind of envision them with feathers coming out of their butt and wings of sorts coming out of their back, walking around with their arms flapping, talking about how, oh, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. They've been making a big show about, well, you know, if things don't get better, if we see deflation, we have plenty of tools. We have room. We have, you know, all sorts of options that are still available to us. And maybe we'll even increase the quantitative easing program. Now, what's interesting, you know the definition of insanity, right?
Yeah, doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results.
Right, which then defines the ECB. They have already embarked on a major course of quantitative easing, which was bigger in scope and size on a relative basis than we did. And they still can't get any inflation going.
We couldn't either.
Right.
That's not what it's for.
That's what they think it's for. That's what they keep talking about. If they would just come out and say we were going to give the banks...
If they would come out and say that it's to prevent deflation and an economic downturn, that would be more honest, it seems to me, because that's actually what it did.
But right now, the net effect of Europe's quantitative easing program has clearly pushed up, we'll call it risk assets excluding commodities, so stocks, pushed down bonds.
Same thing that happened here, except for the bonds.
Right. Push bonds to a point. I mean, their bonds are yielding far less than our bonds are yielding.
It's outrageous.
It's unbelievable.
Negative. It's outrageous.
Yields. Yeah. Yeah. Let's see. I'd like to buy $2 million of that 2-year bond for safety. And yes, you'll charge me 0.25% to do so. That makes sense. So this is going to be happening, and it's going to be interesting because the ECB has been really making quite a show of this. And I do wonder, I think I mentioned this last week, whether we're going to see a buy the rumor, sell the news. Because they have to come up with something magnanimous.
Well, I know one effect of this is going to be fun, at least for me to watch. Because as we did, when we did this, which was years ago, the dollar kept getting more, so much more valuable that it was $1.30. You know, the dollar got so depressed. It was the euro was worth $1.30 and the dollar was, you know, $1.30 is what the ratio was. Mm-hmm. $1.40 almost. Right.
Right.
Yep. And then as we pull back from this, the dollar strengthened. And now that they're doing it, their euro is weakening. And now we're at $1.06. And if they continue doing this, it'll go under parity.
Do you think that will happen this meeting if they really put the screws to it? We're at 105 and change, I think.
I think it's 106 right now. Let me look. It's 106.23.
Oh, okay, because the dollar came down today, right?
I don't think they can. I think it's going to take 6 months. But if they really, but you never know. I mean, the pound is another one worth watching. It's suddenly gone down to $1.50.
Well, the Dixie, which is the dollar bucket against other currencies. In other words, a few other currencies are put into this dollar bucket, not just one on.
Right.
It hit 100 yesterday.
That's nice.
Yeah.
Crude oil's down to 41. Mm-hmm. Gold's down to 1068.
Yeah, copper's getting smashed. Well, a lot of that's also, it's a combination. It's a perfect storm for commodities. You got a combination of dollar and a combination of demand. Clearly, demand is diminishing, especially if we're looking at manufacturing here and in China and around the world. But clearly, those are the two big players when it comes to buying. I still don't understand copper. It would seem to me that with all the homes being built and all the various infrastructure jobs that are going on and build-outs of technology build-outs and things, it would seem that copper really shouldn't be falling as much as it is.
Yeah, maybe, I don't know. I have no idea.
And China's even threatening, I think we talked about this last week, that that they're going to close down some of their major smelters in order to make sure that demand is, picks up a little bit, or supply's down so the demand ratio is better. And that still didn't do, it did some, but nothing major. You would think that would do something major for copper. But no.
Well, copper looks like something to think about buying more of.
Yeah, and that's where Freeport comes in. And you had Southern Copper, SCCO.
Right.
And we'll talk about that in a bit. We're going to also get to some Twitter questions that came in over the on the line today. So,
well, one of them was about the yuan. I think we answered
death,
it.
Beat death to death.
Kind of.
Let's see. I'll take a look right now. All right. I got this on the Twitter here. Okay. Okay, so you talk about China and the IMF. We talked about that, and I think you responded already. Can't, it's rigged for certain allies and bankers. That's good. I think there was the question was from Keith McLaughlin. How can we profit off this climate scam? How can we profit off the climate scam? What do you think?
Well, you can't.
I mean, what would be...
If there's a stock, you think maybe, but those have all failed. All the
solar,
all those things have done very poorly. I mean, Solar City is the one I picked for the portfolio because Elon Musk was buying heavily.
And plus it was down so much.
Yes, he was buying, right. He was buying on the low. And so that's one way, but that's, not really what he's trying to get at. I don't know. I don't know of anything. We've tried, looked into it. Looks like there's a bunch of banking schemes that are afoot to finance the building of stuff in Africa, climate fund sorts of things. But you can't get in on those. It's mostly for governments and elites. I don't know that you can.
I got it.
Ah.
Cold fusion.
Cold fusion. Yeah, that'll do it.
That elusive cold fusion that seems to pop up every so often.
Yeah. Anti-gravity, that's the other one.
Rowan Grass asks, let's talk currencies and investment in precious metals. GDX in a basing process. GDX is the gold miners, which has been just really moving all over the place as gold is getting down there. One of the things that I've talked about many times is the fact that obviously gold is priced in dollars, but the bigger issue is that maybe some of these central banks are selling some of this to, on the market and trying to bring back money so they can spend. I do think it's an interesting idea, and I'll talk a little bit about that during the time we talk about the stock picks this week, because there is the potential that the dollar could see, or currencies could see, a very wide swing this week. And that may benefit. It could be either very good or very bad.
What's going to cause this?
The various central banks, but the ECB on Thursday.
Okay.
And on Friday, the jobs number. So there is the potential that we'll see gold move on that very significantly. So it's worth a play here. It's hard to predict which direction. I mean, if you were a betting man, you would say, well, the ECB is going to come through as they have in the past, and that would drop the euro, and jobs numbers will be okay, which will raise the dollar, which would then hurt gold. But I'm going to take the contrarian side of this.
Yeah, we've seen a lot of these things that should make sense not make sense.
Right.
Over the last 2 years.
Yep.
And I wouldn't touch it with a 10-foot pole.
Yep. Let's see here. We got a couple other just little ones here, but nothing. Let's see here. Debt soaring. Okay, that's interesting there. From Federico. Tom Warnke said something there. Okay, here's more. As much as they fudge the numbers. AIMF vote. Okay, let's move on to the big story of the week. Black Friday. Now, you should know something.
What?
Aside from this Friday, I don't think I've ever been in a mall on a Black Friday before.
No.
I would just not do that.
I've never been to one ever.
A mall?
Anywhere on Black Friday. I stay at home.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm one of the guys. I'm part of the New Year's, the Christmas Eve club.
Oh, really?
Not so much anymore, but I used to be. Where you go shopping. And by the way, the deals are just as good on Christmas Eve. But I was talking to somebody about this the other day. The great thing about Christmas Eve shopping, like the last minute, especially at places like Macy's where the stores are open till midnight, is that it's only men. There's no women in the store. And it's like a men's club because everybody knows why they're there. Because you've been putting it off. You've been, you know, a typical guy, putting it off till the last minute. Now you're looking for anything you can find. And it's just it's very clubby. It's very unusual. Hmm. And they put stuff on sale to get rid of it because they're trying to, you know, move inventory because they know they're not going to get rid of it after Christmas.
Right. It's like, you know, if we were all smart, we would shop for Mother's Day cards the day after Mother's Day for next year.
Yeah.
Right. Candy for Valentine's Day the day after Valentine's Day.
My wife usually buys a turkey a couple days after Thanksgiving and throws it in the freezer.
Yeah, perfect. Perfect.
She said the last time it was like, she says it was like 70% off. Same turkey.
All right. So here's I did go to a mall and I went.
Oh, you did?
I did. Because I needed something. I needed my son's laptop. Something happened with the Apple MacBook. And so I said, you know what? Honestly, I want to get this over with. He's only going to be here a couple of days. Let me just go and grab this one that I want to buy and be done with it. And if the place is crazy, forget about it. But I went at 8 o'clock in the morning and I went to the mall and I get there. There's not a car to be found. I'm like, what is going on here? Maybe it's not open yet. And I drove in. And I can see some people walking around. A couple of people here and there.
Black Friday morning at 8.
Yeah. You think that there's going to be traffic jams and all sorts of problems,
yeah,
right?
Maybe, yeah. Well, I know. I've never been. Maybe the whole thing's bogus.
Maybe it's a big scam. Like, it's a good point.
It's a big scam. Nobody goes shopping on that day.
Right. It's like us landing on the moon. It was all staged. Same thing. Just stage all these people brawling and all the people breaking down doors and stuff like that, trampling each other, right?
Yeah. Yeah. All B-roll.
Right. So I go in the mall and I have pictures of this too. I look around. I'm like, where is everybody? So I go into the Apple store and there's maybe 10, 12 people in the Apple store and about 30 people that work there. And I get right up front. Hello. How are you? Yes. Can I help you? Yes. I like, okay, we'll get right here. We'll help you out. I'm like, well, okay. What? 15 minutes later, I walked out with a laptop. I said to the guy, listen, what's the story? Where is everybody? Well, this mall is not a mall that gets a lot of that Black Friday traffic. It was a high-end mall. It was a Galleria in Fort Lauderdale. And I said, well, that doesn't make any sense. You got a Macy's here. You got, a Neiman there. They have all sorts of things there. You know, the sales. I didn't get the whole thing. But anyway, maybe the point was that the result of what we've seen by the various reporting agencies bears out that less people are clearly shopping in malls. I think there was a 10.5% drop from last year in brick and mortar on Thanksgiving Day and Black Friday
Well, I think they may have scared the public off with all these killings and the rest of it taking place.
Well,
plus, and most of this stuff is just Walmart publicity. It's always Walmart. There's a big rush, maybe Target. You know, they're rushing to get some, you know, flat panel TV set or something like that.
Well, now there's a, if the brick and mortars had the Black Friday door rush early morning where people would just slam the door open and trample over each other, we have the same version of that, it seems, technology-wise, where Target's website went down or couldn't be handled the traffic, supposedly.
Yeah, well, Target's website, Target's computer operation, it leaves a lot to be desired.
Yeah. So they had some kind of problem there. But the bottom line was that online sales and online and mobile sales increased substantially. And some of this may be, is it possible that some of it is due to the Paris terrorist acts? People are a little bit spooked to go out.
I really doubt it.
Mm. And by the way,
I always thought Black Friday, when I was a kid, there was no such thing as Black Friday.
Right, right.
It's only a recent phenomenon. Somebody named it. You know, somebody asked me, what is it called, Black Friday? What is that guy? What? I said, well, supposedly on this Friday is the day that the retailers make all their money and they're in the black.
Right.
And so they call it Black Friday. And none of this was, I don't even remember this when I was in college. This is a recent nomenclature. It's a recent phony phenomenon. I'm now totally convinced it was, since it rose with the rise of Walmart, that it's just a Walmart publicity stunt.
Well, I got to tell you something. It also seems that, I don't know about you, I've looked online, I've looked for various sales and things. I can't find anything that's such a deal that I want to buy. It's usually the worst TV set you could buy. There's nothing that's like so great.
No, I've never been compelled to buy anything.
Yeah. But I even looked on Cyber Monday, whatever they call that. I don't know why it's a few days later, but it is. And I went on Amazon. I'm like, none of this stuff I need that's on sale. I have no idea what, and it's cheap enough to begin with when I buy it normally. I'm not going to, need to do that.
Amazon, even when they have their special deal sales, they're lousy. There's nothing good.
Yeah. So anyway, Black Friday was a bit of a bust. Markets didn't care. Markets still moved up afterwards. They're not really, I think the significant move on the big box retailers happened. And there's some other problems with them. But generally speaking, that happened. The inventory rise was significant. The discounts they said they were going to put out were significant. And, obviously they're suffering because people just don't want to go to the stores and go to the malls. Deal with the food courts.
Yeah.
You got to admit, the one thing that the malls did that is brilliant, it used to be these wide hallways, you know, throughout the whole mall. And they put those little kiosks in there.
Right. Kiosks everywhere.
And are any of those kiosks profitable?
Well, I don't know what they charge for the kiosk, you know, the mall. So I don't know if they're profitable or not. Some of them, every once in a while, I go buy one that does like hat monogramming, or they have an embroidery machine. And you look at that, you go, that'd be kind of cool. A good gift or something, you know, embroider something. Of course, I never buy anything. I mean, I just think about it. But I don't know. And just go by it. You know, what a great idea. And then I would keep walking.
There was one thing that I did notice this year that was different than other years. My email was packed, and still is today, with these Cyber Monday, Black Friday sale things that are just, I mean, unbelievable. It's a nuisance. Have you been getting a lot?
No, I don't get that much spam.
I got a lot. I mean, I got a lot. And it's like, oh, this is the last chance you're going to get.
Then 2 hours. Yeah, you got 24 hours. Tonight at midnight.
Right. And then the next day, you get it again.
I would get a couple of those.
Yeah. So anyway, that's going to be interesting to see how this plays out. And we did see a drop in consumer confidence recently, although spending kind of maintained. But we have the fact that factory orders are down. We see that manufacturing is down. Inventories are up. People are not buying as much. The big winners supposedly were from Best Buy, Target, Walmart, Apple's Watch. Some of the TVs and tablets were the hottest holiday items, and I thought that was kind of interesting about the tablets. And Fitbits to a degree, but they were underperforming expectations, supposedly, on the Fitbit. And the GoPro was also very much an underperformer during the holiday season. No surprise there.
Sure, the Apple Watch is not doing well.
Yeah, I didn't understand why they played that out. Here's where the here's a list of the top selling items from Target. Now, Target's not the only place to look, but it was interesting to see what they were selling. So, number one was Apple iPads. They sold an iPad every second throughout the day on Friday, on Thanksgiving. Apple Watch was especially popular in the stores, and we saw that gaming consoles were popular.
I find that hard to believe, but okay.
Gaming?
No, the watch is so expensive.
Yeah,
gaming consoles, the PS4 and the Microsoft One, since they've retrofitted it with some software that allows it to play the older games, or they are going to, those are selling well.
Right. TVs were one of the most sought-after items. The 55-inch Westinghouse, a name that you really put together with quality, $249.99, Target's top-selling TV, a Westinghouse. That's an old name, huh?
Somebody licensed it, and they make their sets in China.
Movies were a big hit in stores, which guests were buying more than 3 million on Thanksgiving. I don't understand that at all. Do you understand that? Movies. Like DVDs?
Like DVDs?
Yeah.
No.
Yep, big hit. 3 million on Thanksgiving Day. A surprise entry, a 3-foot stuffed teddy bear priced at $10.
Oh, that's a good deal.
Yep, selling out in minutes at some stores.
End up being a kind of a rat's nest.
Yeah. Top toys include Lego, Barbie, Disney Princess, and Star Wars. The Target exclusives generated nearly one-third of Star Wars toy sales for the day. That's good. Beats Solo 2 headphones were the top sellers on Target.com. They were sold for like half price. I find that really interesting that they're selling those. Well, at half price, they're still probably making like a 300% profit.
Yes, the half price is still too high.
Those are so expensive, and they're just so not worth it.
No, they're not very good.
Yeah. A couple other things. Let's see here. Interesting. Yahoo.
Yeah.
So the news that we've been hearing recently is you're starting to see a undertone of more and more Melissa must go.
Why?
I'm just what you're hearing. I'm starting to hear.
I mean, they were all, everyone, when they hired her, everyone was gaga. Oh, she's going to save the company. She's going to do this. She's going to do that. She's never been a CEO in her life. Yeah, but she's going to do all these great things. And everyone, oh, she's the best. She's unbelievable. Listen to all these characters. Now she's got to go. Why? Why? What did she do?
She did nothing.
She ran the stock up. The stock went up.
No, and then it came way back down.
Well, it's down now, yeah.
But the stock ran up because of the Alibaba portion. It ran directly up and correlated perfectly with Alibaba.
Yes, it did.
And then it ran right back down with Alibaba.
Well, there you go.
Now, the news after the close today is that the board of directors of Yahoo is considering selling the core internet business. Now, just
a couple questions come to mind.
Yeah, couple of questions. Couple, go ahead, hit them.
Well, one is, what is the core internet business?
Uh-huh.
I don't know what it is. And two, to who are they going to sell it?
Exactly. And what's left after?
There's any offers.
Right, and then what's left after? Like,
I don't know. I'm not sure. You know, I haven't been to a Yahoo or the Yahoo site. I still have maintained a Yahoo Mail account. I do that. Usually do test mailings to myself. And what else do I use it for?
When you're overseas in some places like Asia, you can get Yahoo Mail, not Gmail.
I don't use Gmail, rarely. I have my own email client. I use Dvorak.org. It's maintained by Mark Perkel at computertime.com.
That's Mark Perkel at computertime.com.
CTYME.com. I always promise to give him plugs.
Yeah, it's a good one.
Yeah, it wasn't too obvious.
No, not at all. I think it was very much very under the surface there. So, but the 7% move by Yahoo after the close, the stock moved up 7%, which makes you believe that people are pretty much just fed up with whatever's going on there. Now, if they sell the core internet business, and let's kind of speculate for a moment, that the core internet business is, well, it's got to be, what do they have that's not core internet business? I mean, some of the news properties, or
is maybe like Yahoo Sports,
right? So, which is good because they're part of that whole. I think they're part of that whole fantasy sports deal. They have a fantasy sports thing that wasn't advertised as much. Now, you know what? I just thought of something. I watched Monday Night Football last night. It was a pleasure not seeing all those FanDuel commercials. I just thought about it.
I agree.
I don't think I saw any. Anyway, so if the core internet business is it core search and everything like Yahoo Finance and all that? I mean, why would somebody want to buy a business that isn't working?
Well, Yahoo Finance is not an internet business, I don't think. I think it's an outstanding product. I don't know. I have no idea. These guys, this company is so screwed up, I have no idea.
One of the big issues was they're supposed to be separating from Alibaba or spinning off Alibaba. But the big problem has been that there's been this overhang that has been traveling with them on whether or not it's going to be a taxable event. And there has been no clarification. And I think the IRS is saying, you know what? Do it. We'll tell you after the fact.
That's what they're saying.
You know, and
why not?
If you'd like to gamble with it, all right, we'll gamble with it. We have unlimited resources to fight it. You don't.
I can tell you right now it's going to be a taxable event. Well, my out-of-the-blue prediction.
Yeah, this is the way it's shaping up. Otherwise, it'd be a little clearer. So that's a big problem for Yahoo, and maybe that's why they need to sell the core business. But like you said,
maybe they're going to give Marissa Meyer to the IRS's payment.
Ah. But I guess it would be...
You can have her.
This would have to be private equity buying this. I can't imagine Microsoft or... Well, Microsoft... You think Microsoft is finally going to come in for the kill here?
No.
I mean, they made
this new guy. That was Ballmer's idea.
Yeah, that would have been bad. That would have been a bad price.
Yeah.
So anyway, I don't know what's going to happen there, but we'll have to see over the next few days what the news brings. But the stock was up, and I guess investors really liked the idea that they're going to get rid of some of the potential dead weight on that. But again, I don't know what is going to be left with this, except for maybe it's just going to be a. You know what? I don't have no idea. I'll have to read more about that. But there has been some discussion about CEO replacements. And a list of names recently came up today by Robertson Humphrey's Bob Peck. He says, some names here. Some of the names are stupid, I thought. Some of the names I don't really know. There's Ross Levinson, Dan Rosenzweig, Sheryl Sandberg. Let me understand something. Sheryl Sandberg would leave Facebook to take a CEO position at Yahoo. Somehow.
I think she would.
Really?
Because she's a COO and she wants to be the CEO.
Well, she gets to play CEO when Zuckerberg takes his like 2 or 3 months.
Playing CEO and having that big fat title with the, you know, fat bonuses is different.
That'd be interesting.
Anyway. I think right Rosenzweig, actually, I know I know the guy, and he would be ideal for this job. But he went off and did this, became CEO or COO or something at this basically a used bookstore called Chegg, run by some Indian guy.
That was isn't Chegg very well known for their college books?
Yeah, that's what they are. They sell used books,
right?
They lease them to you, or they rent them to you, or something. It's a book business. It's not anything like. I think whatever he used to work at Yahoo, and he was up there at the upper echelons, but he hasn't been there for years now, and I think he's probably lost his touch. Running a used bookstore, so I don't know.
Yeah, you lose all sense of reality. running a used bookstore.
It's just a used bookstore. So Jim Lanzioni, David Rosenblatt, I don't know him. I think I've heard of him, though. Susan Wojcicki, I don't know half these people. Beth Comstock rings a bell. I don't know why did they make this list for a lot of women.
Yeah, I thought that was interesting, too, all these women on there. I think it's actually even. Let's see. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 5 men and 1. Oh, let's go here. 1... 5 women. Yeah. You know what? You can't trust a guy that's just being like that.
5 and 5, yeah.
Yeah, just, you know, well, it could be this or it could be that. Let me give you the phone book. Any of these people could possibly be online.
Yeah.
All right, let's see what else we got on here. Going down, down, down. Amazon has is unveiled a drone for delivery of packages. Did you see the video?
Yeah.
What do you think?
Publicity stunt.
It was gigantic.
That thing will never get approved.
It was like a mini jet. It was really enormous, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was big.
The package that they were delivering was like shoes, right? It looked like it was shoes. It was a box of shoes. You know, the shoes. Yeah. It looked like a matchbook in comparison to the size of this drone.
Yeah.
Which I guess you have to have a lot of power to pick it up and all that. It flies something like what, 400 feet off the air, off the ground, and it has a total I guess battery life of
right into some power lines.
Yeah, 15 miles though. I mean, doesn't that mean that the furthest that you could be away from a drone facility that has the product is 7.5 miles?
Yes.
That's pretty close.
That's what I said. This is a publicity stunt. This is never going to happen. It won't get approval. It's impractical. It's stupid.
Yeah. I don't get the whole thing.
Get a bicycle messenger. It'll be cheaper.
Yeah. Or just use Uber stuff. You know, the Uber guys. Did you hear about this Uber thing where you can get a puppy delivered for 30 minutes?
A puppy?
Seriously, you get a puppy to play with. They bring it to you for 30 minutes. If you want to adopt it, you can. Otherwise, they'll bring it back.
Uber. I have not heard this.
Yeah. And the other day, I was, the family and I did this turkey trot. It was 5K on Thanksgiving, which was absolutely horrifying. We get out there, and the wind is blowing like 35 miles an hour off the beach.
I don't know what the turkey trot. What is this, a run?
It's a run. It's a run.
So you put some shorts on and run?
Yeah. But
for how far?
5K.
Oh, okay.
So we get to the beach, and the wind is going like 35, 40 miles an hour.
You run on the beach for 5K?
On the road right there. Right, oh, okay. You know, A1A. And the sand was just ripping you apart. It was horrible. I got home, my shoes were full of sand. Anyway, the point of that was that after the race, I clicked on to get an Uber. And I don't know what I did, but this beautiful Mercedes SUV pulled up. Well, I get home and click, thank you very much. And I see my Uber charge is like $18. Now, it only cost me $6 to get there. I'm like, what's up with that? Somehow I inadvertently touched something, and I guess I ordered an Uber luxury vehicle. So I had to click the next time I was going to use it, which is a couple days ago. I had to change the setting.
Adjust
again.
It.
Yeah, so be careful when you do that, because you can get a much bigger charge than you would expect. But I think they should, if there's all these Uber drivers riding around, just throw it in their car and take it out. Seems like it'd be a better deal.
Well.
Plus, you have to, I mean, how many, drones are not automatic and automated, are they? Are they just going to be like, program it and let it go? Or you have to have somebody watching what's going on?
Well, there is a couple technologies, yes, that can do that.
Just let it go.
You don't think some guy just driving it from some remote controlled thing? No, it's going to be programmed in. And it'll automatically fly over to the spot, drop the thing off somehow. I don't know how it's going to figure out what the steps are. That is going to put on the lawn. Is it, who
they,
knows?
They put out, you saw that. They put out a big A.
Maybe at the end, some guy pilots a big A. And then it takes off and goes back home. Right into some power lines.
But 7 miles. 7 miles, that's right around the corner.
Yeah, you took your race almost went that far.
Yeah. It's unbelievable.
Just send some running guy.
Yeah, they'll do it.
Exercise program.
Mm-hmm.
The shoes under his arms.
Yep. All right, well, no surprise here. Volkswagen, don't be surprised about this now. Volkswagen U.S. sales plunged 25% year over year for November.
Some sales are coming. Maybe time to start shopping Volkswagen.
That was another email I got. I got an email saying the hottest car this holiday. The Volkswagen Jetta. I'm like, I don't think that's right.
The Volkswagen Jetta's never been the hottest car ever.
Yeah. So maybe it runs the hottest, creating the most emissions or something. That's what they were talking about. Now, this whole climate summit in France, and we talked a moment about what would be potentially stocks to invest in and all that, but what do you make of this whole thing? I mean, in summation, is this just a bunch of political blathering?
It's a money grab.
You think from the polluters?
From the polluters, from the big countries to the small countries. There's a million possibilities. And creating these little climate funds and all the rest of it. It's just some sort of this something scammish about the whole thing. And I'll say it again. People say, oh, you know, you don't believe in climate change. No, I don't believe in climate change. It's not a religion. You have to believe in it. All I know is that when they came up with the original starting moaning and groaning about climate change, it was always this, you know, they had this cap and trade scheme.
Yeah.
And the cap and trade scheme resulted in zero difference in emissions. So how's that helping anything? But that's what you had to do, cap and trade. If they were serious about it, there would be no cap and trade. There would be just cap.
Right. Right, because the trade would just let somebody else do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes no sense.
So if that's not the most scammish thing you've ever heard, cap and trade and an exchange, a carbon exchange, where you trade these things, like, that's not taking this seriously if the problem is real.
Right. No, I agree. You should do something about it, not just push it off somewhere else. And it's not just about money. So if you want to pollute, you pay more money. It's not that. If it's so detrimental to the earth, to the human race and all that, then maybe we should say that money is not the answer, right? You know, in other words, a penalty, which can be absorbed potentially by the company that is polluting or creating whatever it is, you know, they can get it. I mean, look what happened with the BP spill, right? That major ecological disaster. So they cleaned it up, and who knows if it's really clean or whatever. And they were charged, you know, billions of dollars. Look at the Fukushima situation, right? That, you know, I would think that the potential for global warming / climate change from what happened in Fukushima is probably in our lifetimes, unless something else happens. But so far, probably one of the worst things that ever happened.
Yeah, Fukushima was bad.
That was really bad.
Yeah, it took out a whole city that nobody can live in anymore.
And then they poured it into the ocean to cool it down. That had to raise the ocean's temperatures. That's not a good thing.
Well,
nobody's bitching about that.
Well, they are bitching about it, but not as much. They don't have big meetings. Yep. So I have not. I'm not on board with any of this. No. I don't believe in it. I don't.
But are you calling it climate change now, not global warming? Because that's a little bit of a subtle.
I like the words global warming because it seems to annoy people.
Well, climate change is a much more subtle phrase.
Yeah, that and people the other thing. Oh, well, climate's always changing. Climate, you know, you get the other guys. Climate's always changing. Okay, climate's always changing. Mm. I like global warming better. I just like it.
My favorite is when, you know, you have all these terrible things happening, like the tornadoes and the various, you know.
Yeah, because we've never had these. Right. We've never had tornadoes before.
But you seem to have like one more in a year, or you have an
El
Nino.
Less in terms of hurricanes.
Right.
When's the last time you had the bat in the hatches?
Yep. No, the summer was a potential, but it kind of swerved off. But what's really interesting is when you see the opposite happen, when things are, there's not as many storms, or, you know, it's colder than usual, that's also global warming, climate change's fault.
It's
like,
yes.
It's almost like, I hate to bring up the whole God thing, but you can't really prove God's there per se, you know, you can't physically, you can't touch him or whatever, but, you know, you have this idea out there and you kind of press it into people and, all right, that's enough belief and faith. This is kind of a faith thing. Maybe it's not a religion, but the global warming
is pretty close to a religion.
Yeah, it is.
We did the No Agenda Show. We did a checklist, and you know, what's religious and what's this belief in this system. It's, for one thing, it is a belief system. It has its saints. It has its doomsday. It's got the doomsday scenario built right in. It's got every element of a religion, and it's got people that shout you down if you argue against it. Just like a religion would. And it's just more of a religion than it is anything.
I guess it is the equivalent of heaven and hell, right? Hell is a fiery global meltdown.
Yeah.
And heaven is, you know,
we're all going to die.
Right. The apocalypse is coming. All right. Last thing on my list is, I don't know if you saw the story, but going back to Turing Pharmaceuticals, this is the company that Martin Shrelly. Even his name is a little bit
scruggly.
Yeah, it's a little bit creepy. But just kidding, Martin, in case you're listening. We don't want you to sue us. But
well, you can say somebody's creepy.
Okay, he's creepy. Anyway, remember he moved the price. Remember he moved the price for the drug was from $13 to $7.50, and there was all sorts of hell raised on that, right?
Well, as if he's the only one pulling that. Only he did it abruptly rather than gradually,
right? So Express Scripts is now going to cover $1 a capsule or alternative to that drug. So there's certain this Daraprim, which is the main ingredient in this particular drug that people who have a lowered immune system get this particular bacteria disease thing, and this drug will help cure it.
Yeah.
And he's charging like $7.50 a pill. Yeah. Well, Express Scripts said, okay, well, fine. You know what? We'll cover the one and we'll pay. It's going to be $1 for you to, you know, to take it.
So it's still his pill or is it some alternative? No,
it's an alternative pill. It's an alternative company making this anti-parasitic.
Yeah, it's public domain. It's a past patent.
Pretty interesting, huh?
That's what you should do. That's the way it works.
Yep.
Screw the sometimes.
Guy. Yep. Well, this guy's going to be all pissed off. All right, let's take a look at the stocks. By the way, just a point of reference, the Dow Jones Industrial Average is now, once again, up for the year as of today. It was down for the year as of yesterday. S&P is up 2% and the NASDAQ is up 8.5%.
So it was pretty much a dead money year.
There was a lot of movement. There was a lot of movement, but in the end, as of right now, unless something crazy happens, yes, I would agree with you. There's a lot of movement in a lot of sectors, right? We had the biotech plunge. We saw commodities plunge. We saw materials plunge. Industrials like Caterpillar. Joy Global, which makes a lot of mining gear, is some, I don't even know how long of a low, like a 20-year low or something like that.
Mm.
So there's been a lot of areas that have been very hard hit. On the other hand, there's other areas that have been doing very well, particularly the big cap names, your Netflix, your Google, your Microsoft. Whoever thought that Microsoft would get out of their way eventually, right?
And yeah, finally, I'm stunned.
Yeah. Apple's been okay. So, you know, all those names have done extremely, extremely well, the big cap boys. And, you know, again, there's a lot of other names out there that have just been obliterated. So we're going to take a look at there's an attachment there with the list. Take a look at the stocks, the weekly stock picks, where we look at various different ideas, sometimes a little bit crazy, sometimes just a lot of logic, which may or may not work out, to pick some names. As a matter of fact, I'm going to talk about something that didn't work out at all in a moment.
Well, what was that?
That was my pick from last week. Total flop. I said that BioMarin...
Oh, yeah.
Remember that? And they had the drug that wasn't approved. There was negative implications for them. And the stock was halted for a day and a half and all that. When it opened up, the potential was for it to move down somewhere about, 40%.
Yeah.
Didn't budge.
So it just went up?
At first it didn't do anything. Then it went up a couple percent. I had a buy-in at 54, and I think the stock was at 94. It was halted. Bad news. Looked ugly. Stock opens, it was like down 1%, 2%. And wow. then it climbed back up. So I'm not exactly sure what's going on with that, but
it never got in.
No, my 54 never hit.
All right, so that was just a waste of time.
Yeah, exactly, total waste of time. I think we can leave it on to the end of the year and then clear it off.
But, okay, I'm still waiting for some of my insider stuff to go, like Kinder Morgan hasn't done anything. Also, Solar City did very well. That really was a good call on my part.
Really good.
17% up, and it's only been invested on 11/17. That's pretty quick money.
Yep.
Everything else is kind of... The one that's disappointing, I guess I got bumped off of it yet again.
Yep.
Is Seattle Genetics.
Uh-huh.
Just can't seem to get a break with that one.
Yeah, neither can the guy, the big insiders. Fortunately, the good news for you...
The guy's going to go broke investing in his own company.
The good news for you is this is pretend money.
Yeah, well, this is true.
Yep. Now, let me mention, this is a game that we play. It's not an offer to buy or sell any security. It's not a recommendation either. John C. Dvorak, myself, or Horowitz Company may own any of these stocks, and we'll duly list that on this particular spreadsheet. Go over to dhunplugged.com to click on the weekly stock picks, and you can actually take a look at these and follow all these because it's live updating with a really cool spreadsheet that we designed. You'll have to do a quick registration, but it's free, so you can check all that out. That was pretty quick. I sound like that SNL character, the... what's her name? Where she's when she does the newscast and she says, "Just kidding, no kidding, just kidding, no kidding." You ever see that one?
No, I don't watch. Yeah, I haven't watched SNL for a while. Funny.
But anyway, yeah. So I would agree. But I'm
you know, half up, half down. The ones that are up are up well. Your Tata Motors is up 37%. That was a winner, and everything else is, you know, it's up and down. It's just like the market.
Yep.
The whole year went by and we got nothing out of it.
Well, the TBT is the one that really, I got to tell you something. So it's interesting because TBT is down 4.5%. Now, we know that there is some slippage there due to the fact that it's a levered ETF. But if you look at what that is, the TBT is a short, okay, on the long bond. Right? And notice the one down from there is a short on the high yield bond.
Right.
But look at that differential. One's down 4.5%, one's up 3.5%. And the fact is they kind of do the same thing. Now, mind you, I get that TBT is a double, so let's even cut it in half and say it's flat. Okay. But still, the other one is up 3.5%.
It's, you know, these ETFs at this point are hopeless.
Some of them are, yeah.
Most of them, at least the ones I pick.
The ones that are like, for example, one of the ones you could go long the U.S. dollar, for example. But that doesn't move very much. You know, you can go long oil or short oil, and there's a double and a triple out there. If you don't hit it right, and it just stays at zero, like in other words, the oil market doesn't move, you're going to be in big trouble with those because there's this natural erosion.
Decay. They decay.
Yep. Yep.
Unlike a stock.
Right. Exactly. Now this week I have one pick, which happens to be the Nugget, which is the multiple, the levered ETF that trades in gold companies, gold miners. Now, you notice the dollar came down a little bit. Look at this thing. It's up 9.5% today. I'd venture to say that the way things go is one day up, one day down. But I'm using this as a contrarian play against what's going to happen Thursday and Friday. The idea that buy the rumor, sell the news. So yeah. We'll see how that plays out. I'm even putting a 15% stop in here, like I usually would. If it drops 10%, we're done.
All right.
What do you got?
I have one thing. Let's see. Let me find it. I have Ares Management LP, Limited Partnership Asset Management Company, ARES.
What do they do? They real estate?
Just a bunch of crap from what I can tell. But okay. The co-founder and president has been buying this stuff like crazy. At the current price.
Current price last was what, $25.98? Oh no, $14.10. Sorry, $14.10. Yeah.
Yeah. He's been buying it. He's been buying it. Let's see. Just recently, he's bought. He's not buying like a crazy man in terms of millions, but he just keeps buying it. And from $13.87, he's been buying it all the way up. The last purchase was on December 1st of 14/14. And
what's his position?
He's the co-founder and president.
Oh, okay. All right. President buying. Let's get my list up here. Let's go here. Just making sure everything is up to date so we have the proper information here. Okay. So we got to buy that on the open tomorrow, on Wednesday morning, on the, actually, was that the second, right? 12, 2. 13, 12, 2. We've got to code this all correctly. All right, there we go. It's a buy of Ares Management. And we have the president buying, not the president of the United States, but the president of the company. And what else do you have?
That's it.
That's it. Okay.
I mean, there's some other action going on. Let me see what I can take a look at. There's some other things coming and going. There's Citrix guy still buying. Well, he's still buying. He bought on the 20th of November. I'm not buying anymore. A company called Intersections, Inc. There's a big buy, $5 million buy from Thomas Kempner. It's not a lot of action.
All right. Well, it's going to be the end of the year. It's going to be a much tighter market in terms of potential, right? So things just clean up a little bit. And what happens is that, you don't get as much of the kind of ranges. Well, you can have some towards the end, but things kind of quiet down because people are going on vacation.
Yeah. I'm trying to see if there's anything on any of these lists that are what looks like kind of interesting. Gigatronics is kind of interesting since it shot up like a skyrocketed for no apparent reason. Might be a good one to short.
There's a couple. They got the Caleb Biosciences, KBIO, the one that was up, whatever it was, 1,000% or whatever. That's come back down to earth. It went to 42, down to 30. It's up and down. The CEO came on, or this guy Turing came on and said that he's out to crush the shorts. I don't know how many shorts can be left that aren't crushed after that. So I'm not quite sure what that means.
Crush the shorts. Yeah, good luck with that.
Yeah.
All right. No, I think that's all we've got.
All right. Let me mention to everybody, if you're listening, we talked about the whole idea whether there's going to be a Grinch or a Santa year-end move for the markets. And I encourage you to make sure to go over to DH Unplugged because we did a nice little graphic this week. One of us is the Grinch and one of us is the Santa, John and myself. And I thought the picture was kind of cute. You'll see. Go over to DH Unplugged, check it out. And, of course, go over to check out Twitter for The Real Dvorak. And Andrew Horowitz, make sure to follow us. And you can follow all of our other highly prized internet properties that we both own as the internet moguls that we are. Our core internet business that I'm talking about, right?
The core internet business.
Yeah, our core internet and media businesses that we have. Listen to No Agenda Show twice a week on Thursdays and on Sundays. Also, listen to The Disciplined Investor, which comes out on Sunday evening. So... But make sure to check out that that image graphic for the show this week. I think you'll be quite amused.
I'll keep an eye out for that myself.
Yeah. You haven't seen it. Wait till you see it. It's funny.
Okay. All right. Talk next Tuesday.
Bye. You've been listening in on a conversation with John C. Dvorak and Andrew Horowitz. Hope to be with you again soon. Bye-bye.
Now, I'm not broke, but badly bent. I'm not down to my last cent, 'cause I got a dollar, but it's my last dollar bill. Yes, sir. In my pocket, there's a dent. All my dough is nearly spent, but I got a dollar, and it's my last dollar bill. Oh, I'd love just one more buck fortune left me by chance. Now, here's a hint, I feel like a man. You can hardly tell by a glance. I don't care, no millionaire can give me the icy stare, 'cause I got a dollar, my last dollar bill.